Hey, everybody. This is Cam with my October roundup. I would say that the month of October is the month of urban fantasy for me. A good six of the nine books that I read this month classify as urban fantasy. The first book that I read was The Legacy That Brightwashed by Crystal Matar. It is an urban fantasy murder mystery that is dark and gritty and really hits you in the feels. The second book that I read was The Fall Is All There Is by C.M. Kaplan. It was my first of the Spiffboat 9 finalists that I read for the year. It is a weird sci-fi fantasy that has a whole bunch of real fantastical elements, a little bit of science involved in there. It kind of reminds me of the Broken Empire trilogy by Mark Lawrence in terms of them having old tech and new tech. The third book I read for the month of October was The Wickwire Watch by Jacqueline Hagan. That is the second of the Spiffboat 9 finalists that I'm reading. More like a steampunk gas lamp style. There's a little bit of magic. We are dealing with like guns, but we're probably dealing with like late 1800s tech level. That's the same thing with the Legends of the Brightwash by Crystal Matar as well. This one followed a 13-ish-year-old boy as he gets himself into trouble with a group that may or may not be the greatest terrorist the land has ever known. My fourth book that I read was Kraken Rider Z by Dirk Ashton. This one is a progression fantasy. Got me out of that urban fantasy run there. It is something that I wasn't expecting to love nearly as much as I did because I generally don't love progression fantasy. But in this case, we have a boy who ends up being a, you guessed it, Kraken Rider in a world where dragon riders are the norm. The dragons and the humans can actually like both physically talk to each other as well as telepathically if they're linked. They'll have bonded pairs. You level up both the human and the dragon. It's mostly like a watery world. It was a lot of fun, something that I wasn't expecting since I generally don't love progression fantasy. The next three books in a row that I read are all, they're the second, third, and fourth books of the Menic Thorn series by Patrick Samphire. I just released a episode not too long ago on that. We have Nectar of the Gods, Strange Cargo, and Legacy of a Hated God. Those three are also urban fantasy. They're set in basically like late Renaissance era tech is what I'd say. They follow a single point of view character named Menic Thorn, hence the name of the series, the Menic Thorn series. He is a middling mage in a city with plenty of more powerful mages and supernatural forces. He's the one and only mage that is not, that doesn't have a patron, and so he is off on his own trying to live as a freelance mage and with often disastrous results on his end. My eighth book is Daughter of the Beast by E.C. Greaves. It is another one of those Spiffboat 9 finalists. It is a Slavic fairy tale inspired epic fantasy. Super cool, has absolutely no humans in it. They're all characters that would be at home in, I guess, these Slavic fairy tales or maybe D&D. But it was a lot of fun. Follows another single one point of view character. Zentile is her name. She is a 10-year-old girl when the story starts and is about 15 or 16 by the time the story ends. I really liked the way that the book was put together. Not having humans was really cool to get rid of those biases of when you're dealing with other races of whether you're going to like humans more than everyone else. It was really well written. The first part in particular kind of felt like a nightmare dream fairy tale. And it was just, it's a book that I'm glad I read and that I will definitely read more of in that series. The ninth and final book that I read is another one of the Spiffboat 9 finalists. That's the fourth one that I've read so far. It'll be right at the beginning of November when I put out a new episode on this one. Master of the Void by Wend Raven absolutely wins the coolest author name title in my books. This one is more of an epic fantasy style as well. We have basically everyone in the world has magic except for one or two people. And this is kind of like the consequences of dealing with what happens with them. There's also a conspiracy going on where someone is mysteriously taking all of one type of magician And as the story unfolds, we figure out like both why they're taking people and also, why some people don't have magic. In this case, it's just one or two. I just gave you the list of the nine I read. Then let's mention the one that I had a DNF on. It is The Hexologist by Josiah Bancroft. So I loved the books of Babel. But no one can claim that they aren't really wordy. I think that the wordiness really worked with the main character and the way that the books of Babel were set up. Just kind of the whole style fit with it being, you know, very descriptive and very wordy. I know I keep saying the word wordy, but that is the best way to describe how they are. But it worked with for me with the books of Babel, and it does not work, at least so far, for me with Hexologists. I'm not going to say that I won't give this one another try and come back around. I only read about 20 pages, but I just absolutely knew that I was not going to get into it right away, at least at that point. And I knew that if I kept going, that it was going to stop me from finishing the two Spiffbo books that I wanted to get to. So I stopped reading that and went on to Daughter of the Beast and then Master of the Void after that. Maybe this winter I'll give it another go, but as of now, it is a DNF for me. So the books that I finished, it was quite the month for me. First of all, one DNF is the lowest number that I've had in a month so far. I think previously it was three. So, you know, sometimes, as I keep mentioning, my ratings are all really high. But as a general rule, if I don't think a book's going to be at least a 3-star, then I just stop reading it. And The Hexologist, because it is out by a big publisher, I will probably, if I don't end up going back, I'll note that. But for the most part, with these indie authors and indie books, unless they're Spiffbo finalists and I don't like them, then I generally don't put out a rating for a book that's an indie book that I'm going to have a 1 or 2 star for. So in this case, though, this month, both Legacy the Brightwash and Daughter of the Beast are books that have a real shot of being my favorite books of the year once I have time to go back and think about them a little bit more. Rain and Ruin by J.D. Evans is the other one of those. But this month alone, you know, two of my top three. And Krakenrider Z will probably be in my top five. Right now, I think I have it sitting at 5. So it was quite the month for me for books that I really enjoyed. I have a 5 out of 5 on all of the Menic Thorn books as well. I really enjoyed the whole series. They're very different than the Legacy of the Brightwash. The Legacy of the Brightwash is now going to be up there on that Mount Rushmore of books that hit you in the feels. That one's going to be a book that I don't necessarily know that everyone's going to want to read, or that you're just going to sit down in an afternoon and have it call it a cozy read, right? It really asks some big questions about society and when certain things are okay and when they're not, and what you should do if, you know, your whole entire society has an ideal that hurts lots of people, and you've always seen following the law and following the rules is a good thing. So Legacy of the Brightwash really was impactful and hit me hard. And I'll be reading the next book in that series as well, but it's like 1,200 pages long. I joked that Legacy of the Brightwash is an epic fantasy masquerading as an urban fantasy murder mystery. And it is quite the big book. That one, like I said, is going to be top three of my favorite books of the year, probably. The Menic Thorn series is far more just like entertaining. It has a little bit of the question of like inequality and things like that. Menic Thorn, the main character, thinks about it a lot, but it's definitely more of like just about being entertaining, action-packed. It's a lot funnier. I laughed out loud, you know, in each of the 4 books of that series. It is completed now. I guess I should say it will be completed November 3rd, so you can buy that book here just in a couple days after this episode releases. Should also mention Krakenrider Z is not coming out till November 14th, so it'll still be 2 weeks from when this episode airs. But you know what? Kraken Rider Z did not expect that. I have mentioned when I did my episode on it that I sat on the email from Dirk a couple of weeks before I finally replied back to him. Dirk's one of my favorite authors. He's one of my favorite people in the indie author world. And but I generally don't like progression fantasies, so I kind of sat there and thought, do I really even want to try to read this book and then end up hating it? And then either disappoint Dirk or me be disappointed in Dirk. I know that sounds ridiculous, but sometimes when you have authors that you really like and that you loved, I loved his Paternus books. They are my absolute favorite action-packed urban fantasy series of all time. So that's why I was so worried since he was writing a progression fantasy. But you know what? Amazingly, I found myself, staying up way past my bedtime reading it. I even loved all of the progression elements. I think Dirk did a really good job with this one of easing the reader into the progression part first and really integrating it, like seamline with it being, like an epic fantasy, right up until, about halfway when you get into that training school scene that you always have to have in progression or lit RPG. And by the time it hit that point, I already knew what was going on without it taking me out of the story. So then it was just a lot of fun. And that's a good way to describe Kraken Rider Z is just tons of fun. The progression and the writing, everything is just, it streamlined and flows the whole way through. And I just absolutely loved every page of it. And then once again, as I mentioned, The Daughter of the Beast, that whole Slavic fairy tale inspired book, it was something that I just did not expect. I don't know if I quite knew what to expect when I started reading the book, but I don't think that I was prepared quite for what I was getting into. And it was super cool. There were no humans in it. You have like a wolfman type of a thing that's a matriarchal society. You have hobgoblins who are like the military might of the story. Then you had Kimori. They're described as kind of like the fae. And it was just such a amazing book. The writing was amazing. The way the book was put together was amazing. That first stitch, so first off, I guess I should mention, instead of calling them like prologue, main body, whatever, epilogue, it's set up into stitches, which actually fits into the story as well. The main character, Zentile, who's a Kimori, she will actually be part of that wolf woman society. And they'll actually stitch things into the tale of their lives, right? In that first stitch, she's only like 10 years old, and it feels like just a nightmare dream situation as she's being taken from her village, treated poorly at first by the Volkari, who are those wolf women. And it just feels like a dream, a nightmare, and it's so vivid in my mind. And it just felt so amazing to start off with. And then the next section where we kind of do the world building and we learn more about it, that was awesome as well. I just finished it off a few days ago, so it's probably the freshest in my mind. But it'll certainly be right up there with Legacy of the Brightwash and Reign of Ruin as my top three books of the year. I really find it hard to find another book that could knock it out of that, top three. Obviously, it's going to be hard in that case for me to have had another book in Spiffbo that'll beat it out in my mind. Obviously, I'm not a judge, so I don't matter. But at least for anyone who watches this, know that right now it's clearly my front runner, even though some of the other books have been pretty good. Then the last one, talking about Master of the Void by Wend Raven, it's way more traditional. As like an epic fantasy. It's got a super cool magic system that's much like Reign and Ruin by J.D. Evans that I read earlier this year, where it's very defined. You have seven disciplines. So you test and you know that like that's what you're going to have. It's a pretty stratified society as well. So only the rich and the exceptionally good students, if you're not rich, are able to go to like the university and become true mages. But everybody in the world has magic. So if that's something that you like, then it's definitely, I think, a book worth reading. I had a little bit of issue with that book, with Master of the Void, with some timeline issues, like kind of figuring out when certain things were happening, because it seemed like the beginning, one character is already his current age, whereas the other two or three characters that are going to be in the beginning were younger. And then there's a time jump of like 13 years for one person, 7 for another. But it seemed like the one person didn't have that time jump, but their chapter was before another person who came in and then had a time jump later, right? So that was a little bit of thing. And there's also like, I don't know, 7 or 8 point of view characters in Master of the Void. It was a lot, but the story and the plot is definitely really solid and something that I enjoyed, but it was definitely a little bit much to start off with for me. So that wraps up my October reads. Going into the month of November, I'll be reading several more of the Spiffbo finalists, as well as Esther Hedden with from Michael J. Sullivan. Age of Myth is my absolute favorite audiobook of all time, and it was just amazing. I loved it, so I was really glad to get an arc of that. I'm going to read a book by C.T. Phipps. I've done 1 or 2 podcasts of his on his books before. They're funny. They're kind of like absurd and ridiculous. There's like supervillains, superheroes. I think that to really get it put down, I'm going to need to just do a review, read the book. I enjoy them. They're fun, lighthearted reads. And I'm also going to institute a new thing that I'm going to do every month. I'm going to put one of my books each month is going to be either a classic that I've already read or maybe a classic that I haven't read. So I'm going to get into the world of Discworld by Terry Pratchett this month. I have never read any of the Discworld books, which almost seems sacrilegious, but I am going to start that. Then like probably the month after that of December, I'm thinking maybe either Black Company by Glenn Cook, which I have read before, or if not, then I was thinking maybe a Rift War Saga book, Raymond E. Feist. I read those in high school, so that's been 25 years ago now. If any of you guys, if you're still watching this video and you happen to have a recommendation for maybe a classic that I should read, go ahead and throw that in the comments, and I will put that in my list of books that I'm going to read that are classics, or maybe we'll just call them the big books, right? Some of them could be newer, but that I've either read or it's been a long time since I have read. If you are enjoying my shows, then please like and subscribe. Like I said, leave a comment if you have a recommendation for me for a classic. And I look forward to my November reading. We'll pump out some more of those Spiffbos. October was just such an awesome month of reading. Hopefully we can carry that on in November. Thanks. Bye.